Hello. The bride of Christ are anxious to know what next in the divine agenda for the rapture. And that is what we are attempting to do as we continue with our series that we titled What Next for the Bride. And today I will go a little deeper, so I will require your attention so that you don't miss the depth of this revelation we will try to bring out in today's message. We'll try to look at what the process of marriage entails so that we can understand what is the process of the spiritual marriage that is going on between Christ and His church called the bride. Let's go to the auditorium and may you be blessed.
Amen. Revelation chapter 19. Can we stand up and pick a text? Verse 7, 8, and 9. I read in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and His wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. God bless you. Be seated. Praise God. We are continuing with the series we have been taking all these past weeks. Honestly, when I started, I didn't know it would take us so long. But it looks like the more we talk about it, the clearer the topic becomes. And we are going further to the next part today. What next for the bride? This should be part 4. What next for the bride? Remember, I picked this as a text, because it is speaking of the marriage of the Lamb, and salvation is a spiritual marriage between Christ and His church. That is why we have the terminologies of marriage. The bride, the church is referred to as the bride of Jesus Christ, because there is a marriage that is taking place. And one interesting thing about the scripture is, if God can just grant you understanding, salvation becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. And especially we that are following a message, you see it established more and more, more and more, as God brings His illumination. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When He said the marriage of the Lamb is come, the marriage of the Lamb, listen to the way that He put it, the marriage of the Lamb is come. He says, and His wife has made herself ready. Listen to the terminology. He said the marriage has is come. King James English. Is come. And he said, and the wife has made herself ready. Now he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you don't read the Bible, you study. Now watch it. He said the marriage of the Lamb has come, the marriage is settled. Then he's saying, and the wife has made herself ready. So I thought it is after marriage that she becomes a wife. Now, this is from that statement, she's already a wife. And then if she's already a wife, then what is she ready for again? And that's what I want you to understand. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So the problem is, she's already a wife. When did the marriage take place? And what is she ready for? That is what we're looking at today. So that we understand where we are and what next in our expectation. Jesus Christ already has his wife. The marriage has already taken place. I'm speaking revelatory language. I'll break it down. Amen. Now let's understand it by understanding the process of marriage. Number one, before you get a wife, brother, the first thing in the process of marriage is that a young man spots a young woman, gets interested in her, and calls her attention. He calls the attention of the woman, and if he can get her attention, then he proposes to her. When he proposes to her, she accepts the proposal. When she accepts the proposal, the man goes to pay the bride price. After the bride price is paid, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then he is qualified for the next stage. And while I'm saying this process, let your mind go to the spiritual marriage that is going on now between Christ and his church. Praise the Lord. So that you can understand this analogy. Now, after the bride price is paid, the man then takes the woman to the altar or before a minister. Amen. The man does not take her yet home until the man brings the woman to the altar, and the woman will now drop her old identity and takes on the identity of her new husband. Am I correct? If a man be in Christ, it's a new creature. Praise God. And that is what the believer is. You give your life to Christ, you accept his proposal. Then you will go before a minister who will take you to water baptism. And taking the water, going to the water baptism, you then take upon you the name of your husband. Baptizes you in the name of the Lord Jesus. You come out what you have actually done. Hallelujah. The Bible describes the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. When Abraham tried to explain that, remember that God himself, the process of salvation, he instituted a type using the Eastern culture. Using the Eastern culture, I don't mean Igbo, Eastern Nigeria. But although it's almost the same thing, because in the East, before you get wife, they will finish you. Jesus Christ, they finished Jesus Christ to be able to pay the bride price. So there they kill him. There are some Igbo culture, they will kill the man, finish the man with the list where they give him. The list. When you see the list, just watching the list, only the man will collapse. So it's Eastern culture. Before they get the wife, they must kill the man. That's why Jesus Christ used the Eastern culture in making us understand salvation. Praise God. Now, the government shall be upon his shoulder in the east. Remember, the woman dresses in a white robe, then with a veil. Now, the dress, the design of the dress, a lot of us don't even know that everything about the design of the dress has a spiritual connotation. Hallelujah. You will notice that a woman's dress naturally should not be dragging on the floor now. But there is always the extra one in the wedding gown. And always take note that the emphasis on that wedding day is always on the bride. Hallelujah. There is always an extra one that drags on the ground. Somebody helps to hold it. Now, it is for a purpose. In the Eastern tradition, once the wedding time comes up, they exchange their vows. That day, the woman, hallelujah, relegates all powers that she has and submits everything to the man. Then it is symbolized by that veil, that extra length of that cloth. It is taken and placed on the man's shoulder. The government shall be upon his shoulder, signifying her submission totally to the authority of the man. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It also means that from now on, all the bodies of that woman, the man has carried. You are carrying the body. The government authority is now upon the man. The authority. And the authority, that is why Christ is the head of the church. The man is the head of the woman. The woman is a body without head if you are not married. Every single sister, you are a headless body. Because your head is the man. Hey, ask that single sister. You never see your head? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And from that day, amen, the rulership of your life, of everything that pertains to you, transfers to the man, your husband. Your God becomes my God. Where you die, now there I go die. And symbolically too, do you know that a married woman, when she dies, they cannot bury her in her own village? They bury her in the village of the husband. Oh yes. Where you are buried is where I will be buried. Where you die, your people will be my people. Your culture, my culture. That is what it means. I am not speaking about Easter marriage. I am speaking about Christ and his church. Hallelujah. When you refuse the headship of Christ, you become a body without a head. You become a woman, church, without a head. But the head is Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says so. Praise the Lord. Christ is the head of the church. Amen. Okay, but let's look at that man. On that day, you come before the altar. A man, a minister of God, is mandated to do that. Praise the Lord. And that is exactly what, spiritually speaking, concerning church and the bridegroom, Christ and his church, is the same pattern. We see it, for instance, in Luke chapter 14. In Luke chapter 14, Christ was trying to give a picture there using that parable. And this is the way he put it. Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. Amen. And he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Verse 17 is my emphasis. And that man that made that great supper sent his servant. Take note, he didn't send servants. He sent one servant. That's why I said, listen very carefully. He didn't send servants. He sent one servant. Send his servant at supper time to say to them that we are bidding, come, for all things are now ready. The feast there is a marriage feast. Hallelujah. We see a type also in Abraham going to bring Eliezer. How many people did he send? One is Eliezer. He sent his servant, one servant, to go and get ready a bride for his son. And so the gospel came to the Gentiles also. And as we see, seven church ages, each age had that servant to get a bride for that age for the Lord. Those are the seven stars in his right hand, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. Also typed in the book of Esther, in the courts of King Ahasuerus, there were seven chamberlains. What is the duty of that servant? The duty of that servant is to bring together the bride and the bridegroom. That is his duty. Is to bring together the bride and the bridegroom. Bring them together. Not to bring the bride to himself. Oh, the duty he has, his ministry, is to unite them to be one. And the church, hallelujah, the servant of God to this age, the seventh church age. What that parable in Luke chapter 14 is speaking about, is speaking about William Marion Braham's ministry. Why? Listen, look at it very well. Verse 17. Verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper. He did not make a great breakfast. He did not make a great lunch. What is supper? It's an evening meal. It's a last meal you eat and go to bed. Glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What did he come with? He came with the word. He came with the word. Christ is in his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you carry the word of God, you are carrying God. The servant William Marion Braham came with Christ the word. Who is William Marion Braham? You have had enter message. Some of them carry some of these things and go extreme. But it's not the devil trying to mess up a true revelation. there is the Son of Man. And I know it's not easy to accept that, because Jesus Christ referred to himself as the Son of Man. But the Son of Man is only the prophetic office of Jesus Christ. In the Bible, Son of Man is referred to a prophet. Now, this is it. Listen to this statement I want to make. The Son of Man came in this age to reveal to us the Son of God. I don't know whether somebody will understand me. Hallelujah. The Son of Man came to reveal to us the Son of God. How? By his word. By his word. In John chapter 6, they asked him, what shall we do to do the works of God? What was the answer? He said, believe on him whom God has sent. In this age, God has sent a man to us in this age with a ministry to unite like a liaison, to unite the bride with the bridegroom, with the word. He was given the word. The bride of Jesus Christ in this age is in a marriage. That marriage is a marriage of the bride with the word. That is where the marriage takes place. Church, listen. The marriage is not going to take place after the rapture. The marriage will take place first before the rapture. I'll prove it. Praise the Lord. The marriage, I repeat, takes place first. After you have been united. After you are united. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. With the word. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you receive his word. And watch the ministry of William Branham in this evening time. He came in the seventh church age. The last church age. The closing of the agenda for the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You will notice that, listen, because a lot of people do not understand this ministry of this man, the uniqueness about this ministry. Remember that by the time that we come to the 15th century, you remember that is about the fourth church age, the word of God was totally closed. That is for 1,000 years, fulfilling verse 33 of Matthew chapter 13, the parable of that woman that took leaven and mixed it with 3 measures of meal, and those are the 3 works of grace, and that woman is the false Roman church that took those doctrines, mixed it with false doctrine, which is the yeast, which is the leaven, until the whole process of redemption and salvation was corrupted. When God started the restoration process, when he raised Martin Luther, and after Martin Luther, we had so many other reformers that came up in between. Now watch what happened. From that time, listen to, study the seven church ages. Listen to how God moved in the Gentile dispensations. You discover that Luther had a light. 3 works of grace. You will notice we have the Methodists, we have the Baptists, we have all of them, Presbyterians, and all these people. they had their leaders that caught a light. For instance, they caught the doctrine of eternal security. And they held on to it. They caught the doctrine of justification. They held on to it. But when more light was shed, because God was shedding more and more light as he was restoring all the doctrines that this false church destroyed. He was restoring them one after the other. But characteristically, each move that stood with the light they got, they held onto the light and will not accept any further light again. So, we have the oneness people who saw baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, who saw Jesus Christ as the Lord God Almighty. They are nicknamed oneness. They don't believe in Trinity. But these same oneness people, before you know what, there are other doctrines that God was restoring that they would deny. And until Lutherans, they do deny the message that Wesley had about holiness. You see? And when the Wesleyans now caught the revelation for holiness, which should be in addition to justification, it was more light. You are not to drop that one, you are to hold the one that was held plus more light. Work of grace, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when he came in 1906, the Azusa Street Revival, when he was restoring the gifts that were killed in the church, the Wesleyans also, they refused to accept it, holding on to what John Wesley taught them. But now in this age, glory be to God. Hallelujah. The union of the bride and the bridegroom. God sent his Eliezer and came and began to bring. He said, you Presbyterians, what you hold on to, you are correct. Baptists, you are correct. Wesleyans, you are correct. Oneness people, you are correct. Church of Christ, you are correct. All that you stand for is in the Bible. Including you, Pentecostals. You went with the gifts and you turned down holiness. You cannot turn down holiness because you have found the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The operations of the gift. He came and brought all this together and then gave us a complete meal. Complete meal. That's why you hear William Branham say that he is a Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, oneness. He said, oh, because what you believe, he believes it. That is the ministry he did. To unite the bride back to Christ again, the word. That is when the marriage took place. Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Saved by grace. Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Saved by grace. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you are united, the church and the word is made flesh. When you are united, the bride and the word, you have been married to Jesus. And that is the greatest problem that we have now. That not the denominations refuse this marriage to be ruled by the word. Instead of being ruled by the word, hallelujah, they decided instead to have their own creeds and dogmas and their own laws. But the bride of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, hallelujah, Revelation chapter 22, Which verse is that? The bride and the spirit. And the bride say what? The bride and the spirit say, come. Why? Because what the Spirit of God is saying is what the bride will echo. We are so united. Hallelujah. And your adoption. Listen, Mr. Believer, that is why. Pastor Thomas, you are a teacher. That's why I said listen carefully, because I am going to say some things that is contrary to what some have been teaching. By what authority are you speaking, Pastor Moses? By the authority of the infallible word of God. The Bible. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The church, average intermediate believer, is waiting for the adoption. Is waiting for the adoption. Remember, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the process of adoption, it is another Eastern culture. I think that is Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. He said, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Who is the heir? The heir, hallelujah, he's the one that takes over the kingdom, that takes over the authority, that the inheritance of the father belongs to him. Hallelujah. When you give your life to Christ, when you give your life to Christ, you are a baby. Then you mature. You add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. Add to knowledge temperance and the rest. All until you reach that stature. Now, when you reach that stage, you are matured. That is the stage in the Eastern culture, and it is done with a ceremony that everybody will see it. Why? That the father will come and say, this boy is now of age. I now trust him. I have confidence in him. Now, the inheritance belongs to him. From now on, anything he says is as good as I have spoken. His signature is as good as mine. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is exactly what happened in Matthew chapter 17. In the Mount Transfiguration. That is exactly what happened in verse 17 of Matthew chapter 3. The baptism of Jesus Christ. As he came out of the water, the windows of heaven, the Spirit of God descended from heaven, and a voice, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well. Please listen first. Listen first. Listen to me. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen, he didn't say, hear ye him. That is when you give your life to Christ, you will receive the Holy Ghost. It is not yet time to say, hear ye him. That is why he waited again until he gets to Matthew chapter 17. Can we read it? Matthew chapter 17. In the Transfiguration. Hallelujah. While he, Jesus, yet spake, he was trying to answer, you know, talk to Peter, answer Peter what he was seeing. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him. Overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What did he add? Hear ye him. And from that time, he will go and tell you, I and my father are one. That was his adoption. You receive the Holy Ghost, and then you are under tutors. Angels are bringing your reports to see what you are doing. Then the adoption. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, adoption is not a group thing. It's an individual dealing of God with a believer. Because our growth rate will not be the same. Our growth rate will be different. That is why some people have received the Holy Ghost 10 years ago. Up to this moment, they cannot cast out demons. Because they have refused to grow in the knowledge of God, in His Word. They remain there, and the Father cannot depend on you to commit authority unto you, because you will mess it up. Who are those that trouble even this ministry the most? They are gifted brothers and sisters. They never grow beyond that level. They never grow beyond that level. It's battle today, battle tomorrow, battle today, battle tomorrow. Hallelujah. Why are you still struggling? God dwelling inside of you, and you are still living a struggling Christian spiritual life, is because you are still growing. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Yes, like Matthew chapter 3 verse 17. Yes, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, by giving you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But he cannot say, hear you him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. William Branham, he demonstrated in his ministry. He went through all trials, all temptations. Jesus Christ, remember, before he said, hear you him, between Matthew chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 17, there was the wilderness trial, temptation, to be tried. Every one of us, as soon as you receive the Holy Ghost, your own, God himself will release you to be tempted. The Bible says Jesus Christ was taken to the wilderness to be tempted. That was to prove that was his training time. When he passed, then in the Mount Transfiguration, he was adopted. Have I believe that adoption is an individual? It's an individual. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then the marriage is complete. At that stage, the marriage is complete, because it is at that stage that the spirit and the bride can say, come. It is at that stage, praise the Lord, that the husband and the wife become one. My learned colleague was showing me a principle of law today. Oh, I wish I read law. For the talk, English common law. English law. The law. Unbeliever, put law. About the recognition of the unity of spouses. My learned colleague. Unity of spouses. Praise God. When a man and a woman, his wife, had an accident, then the man employed a driver to be taking her to the hospital and be taking care. Employed a nanny to be taking care of the house since the woman has accident. Then they took the bill as part of evidence to the court. And then the defending lawyer was now a defender, saying that it is not the woman that employed the man, the driver. It's not the woman that employed the cook and the rest at home. So they cannot bear the cost. And then a decided case was quoted that even the English law, recognizes the unity of spouses. Hallelujah. That the law does not see a man and a woman as two. He sees them as one. Whatever the other one does on behalf of the other is binding. Is binding. He sees them as one. Law sees husband and wife as one. The Bible says so. God sees husband and wife as one. There will no longer be two, but there shall be one. And so the woman can sign your check. Amen. Hallelujah. See that Igbo man, they laugh. You see this Igbo man, they laugh. My wife signed my check. Pastor. He's shaking his head. Praise the Lord. But what is a marriage if you don't have confidence in your wife? What is a marriage? Amen. Whether you like it or not, that is how God looks at you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, once you come to a stage where the word of God rules you, has the final say, then the marriage is complete. Then you become his wife. That's why we sing, I am married to Jesus. Satan, leave me alone. Hallelujah. It's after the exchange of vow between husband and wife. Hallelujah. That is when you will give one another ring. What is that ring? It is a token. It is the sign, a seal of ownership. When not that beautiful girl, to keep other men away from her, she flaunts her wedding ring. Like you see, these days, Sister Marachi is always holding microphone with the left hand. There's a reason why. Before, now like this, she hold them. But to stop some brothers from disturbing her, now like this, now she hold them. That's what I'm going to do like this. So any young man that sees that, you say, eh? Now somebody get this one. At what point? It is after the exchange of vow, signified by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When he gives you the Holy Ghost, Satan knows that you are married to Jesus. Satan, leave you alone. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now watch where I am going. It is after the marriage has taken place, then you go for the wedding feast. Do you understand what I'm saying? The wedding feast. Hallelujah. It is after you have concluded the marriage. You have given the token. You have been pronounced husband and wife by the minister. She has become your wife. The marriage of the Lamb has come. And the wife has made herself ready. Ready for what? Ready for the feast. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are trimming our lamps of revelation. We are trimming our lamps of revelation. And all wedding feasts are done in the evenings. Am I correct? Eh? The process of the marriage takes place during the day. In the morning and then ends up in the afternoon. By the time, if you have ever attended any wedding in bride assembly, the reception, that is the feast. Where you bring your guests
and you show them your wife. It is not in the wedding feast the marriage takes place. The marriage takes place first, then in the evening the rapture takes place. If there is anything, therefore, you should be struggling for now, is to be united with Christ by His word. And let me tell you, because the salvation process is a process instituted, supervised, ignited, and moved by God Himself. Because all those that will make the rapture, there is one identity about them. The identity is that there is something around them that want them, that makes them want to study. They want to know more about God. There is something about them. You want to know more about God. You want to know more because as a wife, you want to study and know what he wants and what he doesn't want. I was listening to the president of the Women Fellowship on television, Sister Rita Onya, and she was admonishing the women. And she said, sometimes I'll just take notice, I'll be observing. If there's any particular thing I know he likes too much, immediately I'll just take note of it, so that when he's not around, I'll just go there. He was just giving the women secret of how he has been taking care of this handsome evil boy. I took note of that. That is what a proper wife should do. How will you be a Christian? You don't want to study the word. If you don't know the word, how will you know how to keep the word? If you don't know the word, how will you know how to live a life pleasing before him? You don't know the word, how will you know your expectation? How will you relate with him? And to know how to relate with him, God, Abraham, sent Eliezer. And it was so many days of journey. And from where he took her up to where Isaac was, it took some days. What was the discussion between Eliezer and Rebecca? He was making her to know what Isaac likes and what he does not like. How he looks like. The kind of food he eats. And how that he does not like pride. He's a man of authority. His mother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His mother was calling his father Lord. He taught her humility. That was why, if you notice, as soon as they sighted Isaac in the cool of the evening, it was in the evening that Isaac came to look for his wife. By now, she should be approaching here. Not on the first day. Not on the second day. Not on the third day. Hallelujah. He came out in the evening on the appointed day that he knew she should be here now. And as soon as Rebecca was told that that is the man I was telling you about, the first thing she did was to veil her.